And we will praise him for the rest of our days. Amen. I thank God for the praise in worship and through dance. They had decided to do something a little different. The drapes that they're wearing over them, they are all representative of their national cultures. Africa, Ireland, we had Honduras, and we had American Indian. So we just thank God that everyone, every nationality can give God praise. First, let me say it's good to be here this morning. I thank God for blessing me with another opportunity. I thank Pastor Harrington for allowing me another chance to stand behind this sacred desk and to share a word from the Lord with you this morning. I desire your prayers, that God will speak, and that you will just receive a little nugget from what is said this morning. One of the things that I remember growing up, and I think every parent, including my wife and I, have tried to instill in our children, is the fact that we want them to exhibit and to show wherever they go good manners. That's something we all want our children to do. We want them to be able to let people know that they, what we call today, had some home training. And so I was remembering when my parents, when I was a little boy, how my parents just really strived to instill in me two important things. There were two basic words that they taught me to say that would show people that first, that they were raising me in the right way, and secondly, that they had given me, again, some good home training. And those two words were please and thank you. Now, they told me that if I desired something, to always say please, because that was letting a person know that I was asking in a polite manner and letting them know that what they were going to do was something that I would later appreciate. But they also said if that person was kind enough to honor that request, that I should always respond with the words, thank you. Because that let the person know that I truly was appreciative of their sacrifice, that they shared something or bought something or did something that would benefit me. So today I would like to lift a text this morning found in the book of St. Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, because I believe there's an example of these two words found in this text. And it's expressed to Jesus by 10 men in the text who are defined or identified as 10 lepers. Now, I'll be reading from two translations this morning. I'll be reading from the New International Version, and also I will share with you from the Message translation. The New International Version says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, the Samaritan, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And I'd like to share the same passage from the Message. It happened that as he made his way towards Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful, he couldn't thank him enough. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back to give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you." And I'd just like to share with you from the subject this morning, the untouchables, a reason to say thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, I thank you for this opportunity once again to stand behind this sacred desk. Father, now I ask that you increase as I decrease. God, let the people see you and not me. Let them hear you and not me. Let the words that are spoken, let them edify and glorify your people and you. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let them be acceptable in your sight. I pray and ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the setting of this text is found, we find Jesus traveling with his disciples. Now, Jesus is on this journey, and it was indicated as I was studying that this was his final journey to Jerusalem because he would be crucified following that arrival in Jerusalem. So he's traveling back to the cross, if you will. So he and the disciples are traveling, as the text says, between the borders of Samaria and Galilee. Now, once again, we see Jesus chooses to take a route that Jews would not normally take. See, they wouldn't normally travel through Samaria. They would go around Samaria, or they would take a different way where they would not have to go through the Samarian villages because they had an issue with the Samaritans. See, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along because of their cultural differences. And so the Jews didn't have nothing to do with them, and they didn't want to have nothing to do with the Jews. So they had a hate-hate relationship, if you will. But Jesus always chose the routes that seemed to be extremely different and sometimes for others would be difficult. See, these two areas were not just separated geographically. They were separated racially. But I have a question today. How many people know that Jesus never did anything without a purpose? And everything that he did, Jesus had a purpose, whether it was to heal, whether it was to restore, whether it was even to correct. Wherever he went and whatever he did, there was a purpose behind it. And it was always for our benefit. We have read many times on how Jesus crossed social, economical, and racial barriers. And now Luke lifts this text, and we see him once again where he's crossing a physical barrier, one that prohibited anyone, and especially a Jew, to cross. But in order to understand the text, we first must understand and learn about these 10 men who are described and identified as lepers. Verse 12 tells us that when Jesus entered the village, he was met by these 10 men, these 10 lepers. Now, in order to understand the significance of the text, we must understand how devastating this disease was during that time. See, leprosy was one of the most devastating diseases, one of the most debilitating diseases that was known at that time. See, it attacked the nervous system. And as a matter of fact, it attacked the nervous system so badly that those who were plagued with leprosy, their bodies became numb, their limbs became numb. They were unable to feel or have any sensations. For example, if a person who had leprosy was to, say, be out in extreme cold, they wouldn't know how cold it was. They could get frostbite and never know it because of the fact that they had no sensations. So, or if they were in extreme heat, they could be next to a fire. They could go to sleep. Their leg could go into the fire. They would never know that their leg was burning because they had no feeling. So, for the leper, it was extremely serious. I mean, it would cause him to sustain severe and sometimes and often resulting in them losing a limb or some extremity. So it even said that the disease could often cause a person to become distorted or twisted. I saw a picture where someone's face had swollen to the point that you couldn't recognize their nose from their mouth or anything, and it had become distorted in a way that it shifted. So you can imagine the appearance of these people, these men, those who had been labeled as lepers. And these are the men whom Jesus would have an encounter with. But see, that's not the trippy part about it. Because what's really bad is that those with leprosy were now ostracized because of their condition. See, they were forced to live outside society. They could no longer have contact with loved ones. Think about it, a husband and wife separated. Friends no longer able to talk. They were even told they couldn't even go to church. The temple was off limits. They were even required to stay at least 200 to 300 feet away from others, which means you couldn't be nowhere near the area that they were in. And if they just happened to be in the area with someone else who was considered clean, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." They even had to go through the situation where they couldn't, had to let their hair grow long and wear torn clothing. I mean, it was a messed up situation. Leprosy had robbed them of their very identity. They were no longer known as their surname, but known as someone with leprosy. It affected every area of that person's life, their physical, spiritual, and their mental lives. But this text holds something really dear to it because Jesus is in the text. Because they had a plea when they saw Jesus. See, it says as Jesus enters the village, he is met by these 10 men with leprosy. And verse 13 tells us that they cry out. And again, they cry out, "Master, have mercy on us." Now, I mentioned earlier that my parents had taught me to say two words, "please" and "thank you." So I believe, in essence, they were saying "please" to Jesus. Now, the text doesn't say how they knew about Jesus. I mean, it could be that they heard of him by just hearing some wandering conversations. Maybe as they were sitting out by the gate of the city and someone, or they happened to overhear some people as they were walking at a distance talk about how Jesus was healing people. Or maybe they heard about the compassion and love that Jesus had for those that were outcast, that those that were marginalized looked over. Or they could have heard a story that when Jesus was in a certain town, there was a man with a withered hand, and Jesus healed him. Well, I really don't know how they heard about him, but one thing I do know, y'all, is that they knew and understood that Jesus was the only one who could help them. How many know that there's no other help that we can have but in Jesus? So Jesus was the only one who could help them. So they cried out to him, "Master, Jesus, have mercy on us." Now, there's a hymn that I love and that we sing here sometimes, and it's called "I Must Tell Jesus." And it says, "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone." And I don't know about you today, but that's good news for me. Because it lets me know that it doesn't matter what our condition is. Doesn't matter what you're going through today. It doesn't matter how you may feel. Your life could be crumbling. But you can call on Jesus. Because Jesus cares about you. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. Jesus can and he will, and he does help us. And it's just Jesus alone. Psalms 46 and 1 says it this way, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And 1 Peter 5 and 7 reminds us that we can cast all our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you and I. So that's good news today. Because see, mama, she may care about us, but she can only do so much. Daddy may not have the time sometimes to do what he would like to do. Friends may be, they don't have time, or they're not around or can't be found when we need them. But Jesus is our on-time God. And that's what these lepers needed, was an on-time God. So they had an encounter with Jesus. And see, what I love about this text is that when Jesus heard them, and this is important, because so often we think Jesus isn't listening, and God doesn't hear us, but he does. And it says that when Jesus heard them, he stopped. And he looked at them. See, what I love about it is that Jesus didn't do some of the things that we may do. Like us say, "Hey, fellas, Jesus, 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 have mercy on us." "Yeah, hey, fellas, I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry. I'll catch you when I come back. But be cool, though. Peace." He didn't do them like that. He didn't say, "Well, you know what? I'm actually on the way to Jerusalem, and I'm running a little late. So when I return, if you're still here, then you can tell me what your issue is." But he didn't do that. The text says that he stopped. He looked on them. And that's important to understand, that he looked at them. Which means he gave them his full attention. I mean, have you ever been somewhere and I know I walk through the mall and I'm kind of looking around sometimes, and I just declare I seen somebody I knew. You know, I just happen to look over and I'm just thinking, "Oh, that's so-and-so." And I'll go over there, and by the time I get there, I realize that wasn't them, and they're looking at me crazy. Because I really didn't give them my full attention. I just kind of glanced. But Jesus, whenever we call on him, y'all, he gives us his full attention. He cares that much that he wants to hear what our issue is. He wants to know what's bothering us. He wants to know all about it. It's like a parent, when your child comes crying and they're hurt, you don't just put a bandage and you're looking over here. You're attending to that child because you care about them. And we are his children. So when we cry out to him, he has no choice but to stop and look at us and see what we need. So I love this passage because Jesus shows that he cares. Because it reminds me that you and I were just like these men. See, we also were once plagued with the condition of leprosy. And somebody just said, I never had leprosy. But we did. See, our leprosy was caused by sin. And see, like leprosy had taken hold on these men, the sin leprosy had taken hold on us. And the effects of sin caused us to become one of the untouchables. We became distorted. We didn't look like Christ and God had made us. Our image had become distorted through sin, which separated us from a loving God. But thanks be to God, Jesus stopped and he looked at us. He gave us his full attention and he came to see about us. Romans 5 and 8 says that, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I don't know about you today, but that's a reason for me to say thank you. I mean, seriously, that's a reason for all of us who are saved by the blood of Christ to say thank you, because he did so much for us. And that's what we can do for him, is just say thank you. But not only did he stop, did he look, and did he listen, but he gave them a command. He gave them a directive. He told them to go see or go show yourselves to the priest. Now, according to Jewish law, anyone who had a skin disease and they wanted to be declared healed had to show themselves to the priest. And so the priest had to examine them, and there were certain things that he had to do. There were certain things that had to take place in order for these persons to be declared clean. And this wasn't an easy process because they had to go through actually an 8-day process, which existed of several rituals. Now, I just want to share a little bit of that with you, of what they had to deal with, because they didn't just go to the priest and he looked at them and said, okay, guys, you're good. There were certain things that they had to deal with and had to do because the priest had to declare them clean in order for them to return to society. Chapter 14 in Leviticus says this, and this is God giving Moses instructions. He says, the Lord said to Moses, these are the regulations for any diseased persons at the time of their ceremonial cleansing. When they are brought to the priest is to go outside the camp and examine them. If they have been healed of their defiling skin disease, the priest shall order that 2 live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the person to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water and in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. 7 times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease, and then pronounce them clean. And there's more that goes on with that, but I'll stop there. So we have to understand that they had a lot to go through when Jesus said for them to go show themselves to the priest. But what I found interesting in the text was that when Jesus sends them, Jesus doesn't say to them, "You're healed, now go." Or, "When you get to the priest, you'll be healed." He actually doesn't tell them anything. He just tells them to go. So what these 10 men had to do was actually act in obedience and in faith. See, they had to be obedient to the word. They had to be obedient to what Jesus had spoken. They had to believe, even though they had not received it yet, that something would take place. Because the text says that while they were on their way, they became clean. And so that's important for us to understand, that even though we may be still in our situations, we just have to stand and trust the word. We have to believe what the word says. And when the word speaks it, it's settled. They had to act on the word. He said, "Go." They went. But they had to act on the word. They had to stand in faith, because faith is an action word. So they had to move in faith to go to the priest. Now, I can imagine that it might have been a little difficult because they're human. I know I would have had some difficulty with it. Jesus told me, "I'm a leper, just go to the priest." I'm still realizing that nothing has happened. Now, what I applaud them for is that they didn't debate with Jesus. They didn't argue with him. They didn't say, "Well, look, man, you got to do something first." See, that would have been me. I've been on the flip side of that. I would look like, "Jesus, I don't mind going, but didn't you forget something?" But they acted and they moved directly on faith. And it was actually through their obedience and their faith that the healing took place. Because if they had just stayed there and looked at their condition, nothing would have changed. They had to move on the word. So I want to encourage you, when Jesus speaks the word to you, just move. Don't worry about the situation. Just move. Just believe the word. Because once you move in faith, the word's got to move in action. Anybody believe that this morning? Has God done some things for you this morning that you know it was only God that did it? The situation didn't seem like it was going to change. But when you heard the word, and sometimes God just speaks a word and says, "Just trust me." And you just say, "I will." And God moves on your behalf. That's what I'm talking about. These men had to move in faith. They had to believe what the word said. And the Bible says that when they were moving, while they were yet on their way, they became clean. And that means that they were no longer ostracized. They were no longer one of the untouchables. They were no longer separated from society. But they could now be reunited with loved ones. Think about it. Husband and wives could be together again. Wives that were once kept at a distance, these men now hold close again. They play with their children. They could laugh and have conversations with their friends. And the most important part, they could be restored back to the church. They could be a part of community. These men had at one time had no hope. They saw no future. But now, through an act of obedience and faith, they have been restored. They were now clean. But the question, sad question, and the sad statement is, there was only one that was grateful. And that brings us actually to the heart of the text. Because it says in verse 15 that one of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. It says he kneeled at Jesus' feet so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough. I mean, think about it. He is walking to just realize he had been healed. And he couldn't contain himself. He had to go back to Jesus just to tell him, thank you. And Luke lifts this person out of the text and shows that he was a Samaritan. And I understand why he did it. Because it's so often that we as children of God forget. Sometimes people in the world can show more gratitude than we do in the church sometimes. Because we are used to God blessing us. We know God is going to take care of us. We believe his word, or we should believe his word, that he will take care of us, that he will provide for us. But there are those in the world sometimes who see deeper and more clearly of God's true blessings. And they are willing to go through great lengths just to tell him, thank you. So it seems that the passage should have read, when they all realized they had been healed, they went back to Jesus with gratitude, glorifying God. But again, sadly, that's not the case. Only one went back. The one who was considered by society, not only as a leper, but as a Samaritan, as being less insignificant and unworthy. I like what the theologian Martin Luther said. He said, the greater God's gifts and works, the less they are regarded. So sometimes it's interesting that the very ones who should give God thanks and praise are often the ones who take his grace, his goodness, and his mercy for granted. Now, I don't want to say anything bad about the nine, because I know that they were doing what Christ had told them to do. But they still had a reason to say thank you. And that's what I want to say to someone today. Somebody today may feel that they don't have a reason to be thankful. But we do. We all have a reason to tell God thank you. No matter what the situation is. And so I will agree that some of us are going through some tough times. But we still have a reason to say thank you. I heard somebody say, well, I don't really see that. I got some tough things going on in my life right now. It's hard for me to even muster the words to say thank you. But let me give you some thank you rundowns if I can. How many people woke up this morning? Show hands. That's a thank you. How many people walked into this building this morning? Show of hands. That's a thank you. How many people had something to eat this morning before they came? That's a thank you. How many people was able to embrace a loved one this morning with a good morning? That's a thank you. How many people today are going to get to go out and share a fellowship with family or friends or just lay back and chill? That's a thank you. I just want you to understand that we all have something to thank God for. It may not be the greatest thing, but just the little things we can thank him for. I had to realize that because I had become kind of indifferent. I just assumed that it was going to be what it was. So I'd get up in the morning, I'd say my prayers, and I'd go on. But it had become almost robotic because my thank yous have become less and less. But after I read this text, I began to realize how much I need to thank God for. Because just coming here today, I didn't have to make it in this building. But it was God's grace and his mercy and his unseen hand guiding me as I traveled through the elements to get here today. That's a thank you. So if you're here today and you don't think you have anything to be grateful for, I want you to know that you do. And just give God praise and give him a thank you for being so good, because he loves and he cares about us. But what I like about this guy, this leper, that regardless of what his friends did not do, he didn't let that deter him from doing what his new life compelled him to do. See, he realized that he had to go back and thank the one who healed him. I like to put it like this. I think he just had a bad case of the can't help it. I mean, he just couldn't help but go back and thank Jesus. I mean, all the things that he had been through in his life, all the stuff that he had to deal with, people looking at him funny, people walking around him, people not coming near him because of his situation, his condition. And Jesus had reversed that in an instant, just simply by saying go. So he had to get back and tell Jesus thank you. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know that true gratitude comes from the heart. See, he already had it within him. I read in a commentary that said that a man cannot give what he does not have. His gratitude had to come from the inside out. So when he went to Jesus, he had already been grateful for something. Even though his condition wasn't good, there was something deep in his spirit that he still could give God some praise for. Even if it was just being able to sit and have somebody he could sit with, even if they all were in the same condition, he had something that he could be grateful for. And that's what all of us have, something to be grateful for. So I want us to understand that regardless again of what you may be facing, God is still good. And God still loves and cares about you. And yes, you have something to say thank you for. And I love the fact that as he returned, he didn't come back just walking and said, well, I'm going to say hi to Jesus and say thank you. It says he came back shouting and praising and throwing himself at Jesus' feet. And I don't know how that must have looked. Could you imagine Jesus turning around and hearing all this noise behind him? All this yelling and this person running, frantically running to him, and then throws himself at his feet. And just begin to just praise God. Just begin to just worship him. Just begin to extol him. Just begin to just love all over him because he was so good to him. I can't imagine how that must have looked. I mean, I don't even know what he could have said to Jesus. I don't know what he might have said to Jesus at that moment. I had to think about it. What would I say if Jesus had done something like that for me? What words could I express to Jesus for his goodness? Well, I'm not sure what he might have said, but I know what I would have said, and it may have gone something like this. So I don't know about you, but I think that's what he was doing. He just was praising him, and I can just hear him saying those words, grateful. Grateful, grateful, gratefulness is flowing from my heart. Because look what happens when he returns. Look what happens when he comes to Jesus. And because of his gratitude, Jesus looks at this man. And he tells him to get up on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you. Now there's a Greek word that's called sozo. And that means that he was rescued or that he was saved. It's a word that he was completely restored. So in his returning, he had been fully restored. In some translations and other, the King James Version especially says, thy faith has made thee whole. But I was reading something by Dr. Ralph F. Wilson that I liked the way he said it. He said that Jesus offers this leper more than the others. See, they received physical healing, but the Samaritan receives a deeper salvation in addition. See, just because he had his physical, God gave him something else with that. He saved him. See, his faith prompted him to return to the feet of Jesus. and give him thanks. But through that personal contact, that personal submission, it signified a soul healing that is more than skin deep. In other words, because he was so gracious and so grateful, and he was not disobedient, but he understood that the priest could only pronounce him clean, but Jesus had made him clean. He had to come back and give him some praise for that. So because of his returning, because of his thankfulness, God gave him even more than he had given before. He healed him physically, but he healed him spiritually. And that's what the other nine missed out on. See, they missed out on a greater healing, their soul's healing. See, they were healed physically, but they still were bound with spiritual leprosy. And that's something I don't want us to leave here today experiencing. Because we each have a reason to pause and tell God thank you. What I want each of us to take from this message today is that regardless of whatever you're dealing with, Jesus deserves our thankfulness. This week, this Thursday, we're going to approach the National Day of Thanksgiving. What are we going to be thankful for? Now, I have to admit, I'm looking forward to the turkey and the dressing, the stuffing, the pie, all that. I can't wait. We're doing some shopping already for all of that. But it's not the turkey. It's not the dressing. But we need to give praise to the one who provides the turkey and the dressing. Because it's because of his sacrifice that there is a day of Thanksgiving. Because 2,000 years ago, while we were yet deep in our sins, Jesus said, prepare me a body, and Father, I'll go and redeem them. So he took off his royal garment and wrapped himself in human flesh, was born through a virgin, and for 33 years walked this earth doing good, healing the sick and raising the dead, restoring people back to their lives. And he died on a rugged cross just for you and I. He shed his precious blood just for you and I. He was pierced in his side just for you and I. And for that, I have to tell him thank you, because he deserves it. If there's nothing else I can do, I can just tell him thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, because he has done so much for me. Calvary was not a skip in the park, y'all. He sacrificed himself, and he didn't have to do it. Somebody here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you today that he died for you. If you were the only person here today, nobody else to have this show, Last Man on Earth, if you were the last man or woman on earth, Christ still would have came. He still would have died, and he would have rose again the third day just for you. And that's something to say thank you for. So I want to encourage, I want to challenge each of us that as we go through this week, look at ways you can say thank you to the Lord. Let him know that you appreciate what he is doing and what he has done. Because he has truly been so good to us. Because we too were one of the untouchables. But through his compassion and his love, he has restored us and made us clean. So I pray today that through this message, that a nugget has been left, it has been dropped in your spirit, that you have something to be grateful for, something to say thank you for. Because God is truly good. And I don't know about you, but how many people just want to take a moment just to say thank you? This is your time. All you have to do is just say thank you. Can we just say thank you? Not that thank you, Jesus. I mean, thank you, Jesus. That's good. Thank you. Yeah, that's you too. Thank you. But can we just lift our voices and just say, thank you. Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. So as I leave you this morning, I thank you so much for your prayers. I thank you so much for your love. And I thank you so much for your attention this morning. And I pray that God has touched someone's spirit.